Work it, make it, do it. Makes us honor, better, faster, stronger.
Obanai in the shotgun with Wheaton. Takes the snap. Rolls near side right. Throws. It's caught. Touchdown, Greg Little. And the Browns lead.
Coming to you live from Browns headquarters in Berea, Ohio. This is Cleveland Browns Daily. Driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Here's Wheaton. Play action fake. Looking. Throwing. Wide open. Touchdown. It's Obanai.
And now, here are your hosts, Vic Carucci and Nathan Zagora.
Yeah, it's a reaction Monday, a blue Monday for sure, around here in Berea. The Browns losing 31-13 to the Green Bay Packers. A very, very discouraging loss. The kind of loss that is going to resonate with the possibility, distinct possibility, of a change at quarterback. Some would say that that is long overdue. But that is on the table as Rob Chudzinski and his coaching staff meet this afternoon. Rob saying that earlier today, that they will discuss all positions and possible changes throughout the lineup. But that is going to be one. And Brandon Whedon off a horrendous game with an offense that is just playing terribly. Going six quarters now, producing going back to the last game. I mean, when you talk about the fourth quarter, and then having only one touchdown to show, but six bad quarters of play, counting the second half of that Detroit game for Whedon and this offense. Nathan Zagora, this is not how this team envisioned, I think, things happening at this point, because even if both of us, and we did, say that this was not a game we expected the Browns to win, you don't expect it to be that bad.
You know, as I watched this game, I had a feeling that things are going to have to change, because Brandon Whedon, is he the only problem? No, but he's becoming such a glaring problem, Vic, that I get the sense, and you're there, you rode with the team, etc., so you might have a better sense of it than me. I get the sense, watching it through the screen, and I'm sure a lot of the listeners out there could sense this as well, that the team does not believe in Brandon Whedon. And so whether or not he's the best quarterback in the building, whether is immaterial at that point, because right. He's not the best quarterback for this group of individuals, given the fact that I get the sense that they don't believe in him. You can see it in the body language of the receivers. Yep. I think you can see it in the body language of the offensive line. You can see it in the body language of, I think, quite frankly, everybody on the team, and it's starting to take a toll. And whether that's fair or not to Brandon Whedon is immaterial at this point, because I get the sense that that's just the way that it is, that this team does not believe in Brandon Whedon, despite what they all say and what you say in public, and you say the right things, but certain things come through and certain things show through. And I think there is a complete lack of faith in Brandon Whedon, a lack of trust in his abilities to lead this team the right way amongst his peers. And when you'd have that, It doesn't matter, because you cut off the head and the body will fall. And right now, you know, Brandon Whedon is cutting the head off of this football team in terms of their belief. And now they're professionals, and you'd like to think they're better than that. But at the end of the day, when you're an offensive lineman and you say, I need to block an extra second on every single play because of this guy, and then he's still not making plays. And when you're a defense and you say, we have to go and get everything done, it just starts to wear on you. It takes focus off of your ability to do your own job. And I think right now, Brandon Whedon, given the perception amongst him and his play, which is not a perception, is more of an objective fact-based situation, is hurting this football team. And right now, I'll take a look at anybody.
He's playing horribly, and that's the bottom line. And you can't continue to do this and then maintain the respect of your players, maintain the confidence of your players. And I think this is the challenge Rob Chudzinski faces. He's got to be aware of that now, how this influences the room. To sit there and do nothing and try to explain that, because I can't for him. I can't even come up with a script or a speech that he could give his team as to explaining why you stick with Brandon Whedon after what we saw yesterday, after what we saw in the second half against Detroit. Passes just woefully off target, decision-making that just didn't make sense. And you saw a guy who, when he had protection, I was counting it, you'd go get all close to 5 seconds and the ball's still in his hand and he's patting the ball. And you can't be doing that. You can't look that confused. You can't look that unattached to what is reality, to what is happening around you. The pass rush, the lack of feel for that, we've seen evidence of that before. That is continuing. And to your point about the body language of players and their frustration, And again, he's not the only guy. We're going to spend some time today talking about a defense that is absolutely faltering when all the statistics, and this is where numbers clearly have told the wrong story, because the numbers were telling a story that this is a dominant group, and we've quoted those, and we felt so good about what we've seen, and we've talked about individual performances and collective performances, and all it really told me was they didn't play Aaron Rodgers yet. They didn't play the best quarterback in the league yet.
Right. Seven touchdowns.
So they've gone up against some of the elite quarterbacks, and I think the very best in the league, and Aaron Rodgers are arguably one of the very best in the league. And that was a reality check for the defense. And Eddie Lacy averaging 3.7 yards per run, the continual erosion of the run defense is a problem, and that shouldn't happen when Jabal Sheard is back in your lineup and healthy.
Well, 3.7 yards a carry, I think, is pretty – I'll take that. I think that's a solid number.
It's not
number. Good.
It's not what – they've been dominant. That's not a dominant – that's if you're three, if you're getting up 3-7, you're not a dominant defense. Please don't sell that to me. They were soft against the run. Soft against the run.
They get beaten up a little bit.
And that's how they got off. And that's why Green Bay stayed on the field on third down, along with Rodgers. They were beating them in every possible way. So the defense doesn't get off the hook, is my point.
No, the defense does not get off the hook at all. And to go even a step further, the seven passing touchdowns they've given up the last 2 weeks to Matt Stafford and Aaron Rodgers, they did it to Matt Stafford when, quite frankly, Calvin Johnson was clearly not 100%. They didn't have Nate Burleson in the lineup. Now this week they go against Green Bay, and they don't have Randall Cobb or James Jones in the lineup, and it doesn't matter. Jared Boykin looks like a first ballot Hall of Famer against this defense. Joseph Fouria looks like they should be putting his bust
in
Canton.
They sent him to Hawaii. They sent Boykin to Hawaii.
So it is a very, very troubling scene, and I think that, you know, it's just, to me, indicative of, I don't think it's a lack of effort. I don't think it's that they don't want it. I think right now there is a mistrust of Brandon Whedon and of the team in general, of their ability to win. And when you go, and I think it becomes even more, it hits you in the face when you're going against Matt Stafford and Aaron Rodgers, that, hey, look at this, and look how fun these guys must be having a great time over here. I didn't like the body language I saw from Josh Gordon again.
Oh, no.
I thought that he...
I didn't like the play from Josh Gordon either. He's not fighting for the ball. He's not doing any of the things to help himself be the elite receiver that everybody thinks he can be on ability, and this is looking like unfulfilled potential, unfulfilled promise. This is going down the road of a sad story. His quarterback is not helping him, but you know what? You got to help yourself too a little bit.
Right on that fourth down play, go up there and catch the ball at the peak. I guess he mistimed his jump, but get your arms out there and go make a play on the football. That's what I'd like to see. So there are a lot of things that we can go through. I think, you know, you tell me when you want to get into specifics, but just in general, it was a bad performance. It was a poor performance by Brandon Whedon that I thought dragged everybody else down. The defense tried to hold their ground, but could not. They were not able to get off the field again on third downs. Green Bay 7 of 13, 54%. Green Bay averaged 5.4 yards per play, the highest number they've given up this season. They were run on. They were passed on. Really, whatever Green Bay wanted to do, I felt that they were able to do. The pass protection was great. The only sack of the day came on a corner blitz where Chris Owens and Paul Kruger each got credited with half of a sack there. They did not get a lot of pressure on Rodgers throughout this game. It was a disappointing performance, I would say, in every single facet. There really isn't even anybody that I would like to single out. I thought Joe Hayden did a good job on Jordy Nelson. I mean, yes, he scored a touchdown, but for the most part, he held Jordy Nelson under 10 yards a carry. That's good. Yeah. But other than that, there's really not a whole lot to be excited about. And
not at all.
The way that teams have figured out the Browns defensively is starting to scare me. The pressure is not as great as it once was. Right. Teams are figuring out the matchups that they need, and quite frankly, we'll get into this in more detail. Yeah. Craig Robertson in coverage on anybody, a tight end or a running back,
is a loss for the
Browns.
And the run fits are bad. And again, I can't let them off the hook and say that 3-7 will be acceptable or take it. Study the tape. Their run fits. I watched this game late last night, and you don't see the people in the right spot. You see them overplaying. You see them underplaying certain areas because individuals are starting to take it upon themselves to do things and not staying within the integrity of the scheme. And that's one of the first signs of erosion is the right word for this defense and for the team in general. You can't let that happen. I mean, the defense was this team's identity. I still think it can be this team's identity with so many games still to go, 9 games to go, and foundationally you're building something that starts with defense. You can't have performances like that, even with all the talent that the Green Bay Packers pose, starting with their quarterback. But that was a beat-up offense, and that was also a beat-up defense. I think people did put way too much trust in the idea that a beat-up Packer team is beatable. We know now that a beat-up Packer team, in terms of the standard they set, is still far and away above the level that where the Browns are as a team collectively. But that made a statement.
Absolutely, and I said that this is an opportunity game. The Green Bay Packers were giving up the highest quarterback rating in the NFL, the highest yards per attempt at 8.7. By the way, he averaged 3.5 in this game. This was a game where the opportunity for Brandon Whedon to have success should have been there. The fact that he could not do it against this team. I mean, Joe Flacco's had an awful year. Even he threw for 342 yards and two touchdowns against Green Bay, and that was just a week ago. So Brandon Whedon, this was an opportunity game, and he failed in his opportunity, I would say. And this is a very tough situation. It gets no easier next week going into Kansas City, which is, in my opinion, the best, you know, probably
legit 7-0.
The best defense in the NFL now, and they can get to the quarterback.
And legit offense, too.
Charles, it doesn't get any easier. So this is a very, very frustrating, I'd say humbling, and I would call it very discouraging game, because everything that at least I was excited about for this Browns team, the Packers kind of took that away. They were able to throw the ball whenever they wanted to. Secondary receivers, tight ends abused us. They were able to run the ball, like you said, when they wanted to, with Eddie Lacy, who put up 108 total yards and a touchdown in this game. They took Josh Gordon pretty much effectively out of the game. Josh Gordon did a little bit of that himself. Whedon was terrible. The running game attempt to establish balance was, you couldn't do it. Now, granted, we averaged 3.6 yards a carry. They averaged 3.6 yards a carry, but a completely different feel to those 3.6 yards per carry on both sides of the ball there. It was just disappointing.
And they had the excuse. they were more beat up. They didn't have their best defensive player on the field in Clay Matthews, and nor did they have his backup. 216-578-0850. 216-578-0850. We want your reaction. We also want to tell you what we have on this show. It is Monday, so you will hear from the roundtable. We're going to get together with Doug Deacon from the PNC Bank, Cleveland Browns Radio Network, and Tom Withers from the Associated Press. It's the roundtable. It's brought to you by Sam and Dave's in downtown Rocky River, celebrating the 20th annual Main Event Lobster Celebration. Check out the delicious details at salmondaves.com. That's salmon, like the fish, and Dave's, like Dave Logan. So that's coming up for you. You're also going to hear from the head coach of the Browns, Rob Chudzinski. We'll bring him aboard in about an hour or so from now, get his exclusive comments, as we do on the show, although he said a lot during his news conference that we'll also discuss on the show as well. Gerard Cherry will make his usual visit to us, his usual daily visit. Want to hear his thoughts.
Yeah, it's a tough Monday, and I think this coaching staff has some tough decisions to make. The directions of this franchise for this season, as it stands in 2013, I think are very interesting, because with Brandon Whedon in there, things are not looking good. Will they look better with Jason Campbell? I don't know. Can they be worse? I don't know the answer to that either. I would say probably not right now. I mean, that's got to be the thought process, that at least it can't be worse, that at least it says to the team that, hey, we're not going to tolerate this. Right. And Brandon Whedon, you know what? At some point you can say you're in your, you know, a new system in your second year. You've really only gotten to start four games. But you know what? They've been atrocious. They've been four bad games. And two of them have been with Josh Gordon. Two of them were not. He did great against Buffalo. But everybody's thrown well against Buffalo. I mean, Ryan Tannehill just threw three touchdowns against them.
The consistent theme that we've heard from Rob Chudzinski and above in this organization is that we're better going to get better, right? I mean, the word better has been used a lot. And I think, and it's fine to hear that and to sort of sell that, but you have to give some tangible evidence of where that's coming from. And if it's not coming from winning games, which is the usual place, and it's not, then there has to be something else there. And the something else is when you reach a point of crisis, which is what this is, especially at the quarterback position, that you act upon it. Now, is Jason Campbell the answer? I have no idea. The Browns have no idea. Rob Chudzinski doesn't know if this guy is going to be any better, and he could be worse, which is a scary thought. So what you're looking at is you got to trust that it's 71 starts that he has. You got to trust that he's been into it mentally, that he's focused and that he could at least be efficient, that he could at least avoid the crazy throw that results in those turnovers or near turnovers, the things we saw the last 2 weeks. The other part of this is, and I know this is why this is a very difficult decision, because once you go down the road of sitting Brandon Whedon, you've effectively ended his time with the Cleveland Browns. If you sit him now, it's over for him as a Cleveland Brown. He knows it. Everybody would know that. I think there are two things to look at here, that if you make Jason Campbell your starter, if you decide to do that from Kansas City on out, and now you've decided basically to turn over more than half the season to another quarterback, I think you need to get another quarterback. I think you look at the possibility. What I mean is on your roster, just
yes,
whoever that is, right? I you know, I don't want to hear Tim Tebow's name. I do not want to hear Tim Tebow's name, even though I'm saying it.
I'll give Vince Young a look.
But I was just going to say, Vince Young.
Give him a look.
At least give him a look. He's out there.
He's out there.
Tyler Thigpen.
You need a guy who I think can make some plays with his legs right now behind this offensive line, because you're going to be running a little bit. Maybe we can do it. We'll see what happens. But to me, it's a situation where something's got to happen. And I was trying to look at the schedule and say, for timing purposes, do you go to Kansas City, take your lump? Do you play the Ravens, maybe take your lump, then have the bye and make a change? Or do you want to just say, let's accelerate? Because if you put Jason Campbell in his first start on the road in Kansas City, it's not going to get off to a good start. I don't believe.
The odds would seem to be stacked against that.
So it's a matter of what do you want to generate any momentum when you do this, because that's got to factor into it too. And how much does that factor into it? Or are you saying, all right, let's give Campbell a two.
Somebody other than Brandon Whedon is really what the basis of it is right now. Because
you don't
know if he's going to give you a spark at Kansas City any more than he might give you a spark at home against somebody. I hear exactly what you're saying, and it makes perfect sense that strategically maybe you time this a little differently, but honestly, in light of what I saw and felt being there at
Lambeau Field, what jumped out at you through the screen,
I think it's hard to just make the call to say, you know what, we'll go another week with Brandon Whedon and have that sound credible.
I agree, and I think that they need to act perhaps sooner rather than later on getting another quarterback in here. Sam Bradford's out for the year. They think that Jay Cutler could be out indefinitely in Chicago. There are teams that are going to be looking for quarterbacks and auditioning them very quickly.
Dave DiNatale, our producer, saying that Jason Lockenfor of CBS Sports reporting that Brandon Whedon will continue to be the Browns starter and will start against the Kansas City Chiefs. So that's what he is saying, despite the fact that the head coach has said and is continuing to say that no decision has been made about that.
Yeah, let me read the whole tweet to you guys.
Sure.
According to Jason, he tweeted it about 15 minutes ago. Brown sticking with Whedon as starter this week after considering change, but wouldn't be surprised to see Jay Campbell get a look soon.
Well, according to the head coach, and we talked with him just prior to, and literally minutes, so within that window, it was less time than that tweet came out, that we've spoken with Rob Chudzinski and we'll air him during the course of this show. He told me, that this is still something they're going to meet on and discuss as a coaching staff. So, you know, I'm not going to say what Jason has is wrong, but it definitely goes counter to what the coach is saying as far as a decision being made, or point blank, he's not committing to Brandon Whedon yet. But we'll see how this all plays out. I mean, it would, to your point,
I think
about timing.
That's for timing reasons.
You know, for timing reasons, if you start Whedon and then maybe work Campbell into the game, if Whedon gets off to another start like that, I guess. But I got to tell you, that's a hard sell.
It's going
to
be a very hard sell. And
wow.
It becomes a balance. What do you want? What situation do you want to put Jason Campbell into? Yeah. You and I were kind of going down the same path. I felt that a change needed to be made based on what I saw.
Just based on the
body language.
Yeah.
We don't make those decisions. It could be a situation of not wanting Jason Campbell to go out there in what is probably the toughest place to play in the National Football League. But Case Keenum went in there and actually played a pretty good game as an undrafted rookie for the Houston Texans and had an opportunity to give that team a victory in Kansas City. I don't know. So if that's the case, I think don't yell at us. Please, we're just the messengers.
We're trying to get the message out, but we're aboard with the whole idea, and I think it's I don't know of anybody truly that feels much differently than this, because I think it's stating the obvious.
At this point, it is.
All right, we're going to, in a little bit, get our roundtable together. Again, that would be Doug Deacon from the PNC Bank, Cleveland Browns Radio Network, Tom Withers from the AP. We'll hear from them. We'll hear from you, and I know we got some callers on the line at 216-578-0850, 216-578-0850. Your barks from the pound. Want those via Twitter, at Browns_daily. At VICCARUCCI, at NATHANZEGURA. Want to hear from you, and we will commiserate. This is a commiseration kind of day on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford.